I truly desire your prayers this morning. Seems like I need the Lord more than I've ever needed him before. Seems like the older I get, the more I need him. So I ask that you would pray for the word and that you would pray for me. I'm going to start this morning with the word revival, because we have just come through our spring revival. I'm going to give you some definitions for the word revival. It's not a new word. It's a word that is very old. But what that word means is that you and I will be renewed. And as we go along, we sometimes just have this feeling. I just need to be renewed. I need to be refreshed. I need to be revived. And oftentimes I pray that way for myself along the way. I'll say, Lord, refresh me, renew me, revisit me. That's what it's all about, isn't it? We need the Lord to revisit us from time to time. But some of the other definitions said to recover from a state of neglect. And that's so easy for us to fall into a little state of neglect. We're all busy. There's many distractions. There's many cares of life that can affect us and cause us to become neglectful. And it's just so easy, and it just happens so subtly and just step by step, and we don't even hardly realize it. But there's another definition, and I like this one, and I think we'll apply it more to the congregation, is to bring again a more active attention and of spiritual concerns. Just bring again. I just need to be refreshed. And so the Lord was so merciful to send us a revival. And I believe that the revival was ordered of the Lord. I believe that he is preparing his people for eternity. And then another definition simply said to be re-inspired. And so sometimes you and I just simply need to be re-inspired. Revival, I have found down through my life that it has been necessary. And it's just simply because of the routine of life and how that I can fall under that state of neglect. I'm thinking of the scripture that says that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak, and our spirit and our flesh just simply go hand in hand. Our spirit is affected by our flesh and by the way that we feel. We can even get under a spirit of tiredness. Do you believe that? Just weary with life itself. Have you ever said it to yourself? Maybe you've even said it to others. Oh, I am so tired of, and put whatever you want to on the end of that. But we need to watch about even our feelings of tiredness. Do you believe that? I believe that the enemy can put a spirit of tiredness on us, and that affects us also. Spiritually, it will affect us. We may not realize it, but we need to pace ourselves. You need to pace yourself in your life, in your work, in your time. You need to pace yourself. I need to pace myself. How many of us are trying to be a multitasker? That's a word that is sort of, I don't think the former, our ancestors heard of that word. But it's a common word now. We're trying to do too much in one day, trying to get accomplished more in one day than what our physical body can actually sometimes do. And it puts a spirit of tiredness on us. So from time to time, we have to be refreshed and revived. And so I think that most of us here today, we are not, I believe that you could testify that you're not tempted to go out and do a gross sin. We're not really attracted to the world, are we? Do we feel the temptations of the world? Are we drawn by the world? Most of us have moved away from that place that we are not tempted to go out and commit a gross sin. We've made our decision and our choice. I'm following the Lord. I'm going the way of the cross. And so that's not really our temptation today. But we are tempted. And the scripture says that every man is tempted when he is what? Drawn away of his own lust. So we're tempted with the struggles of daily life, everyday life. And we're tempted to become lukewarm. And that's why we need a revival from time to time, because we're tempted to just let down just a little bit. You know, I would say if we took a vote this morning, and if I said, and I'm not going to ask you to do it, if I said, what is the greatest trial that you have? Well, we all are contending with the enemy, but wouldn't it be taking time to read and pray? It's one of the greatest contests to our walk with the Lord is taking time. And it's so easy to slip on that kind of thing. So easy. Now, we know what the scripture says. And it says for us to pray without ceasing. And maybe you do. Maybe I do. If we go in the spirit of prayer, sometimes we feel like we are praying, and I believe in that. I do go about my work often with a spirit of prayer on my heart and in my mind, and I am continually crying out to the Lord for whatever the burdens are that we're holding before the Lord at that time. But it is very easy to slip on those kind of things. And I want to say that the enemy will use that against you and accuse you and cause you to feel unworthy of the Lord even hearing your prayers. But I want you to resist that. I believe the Lord wants us to resist any accusation of the enemy. He is a liar. God has the help for you and me. So let us let's keep a thermometer. You know, when we think a child has a fever or something, we give them a thermometer to see what their temperature is. Let's try to have a spiritual thermometer all the time. Let's test ourselves. Let's see where we are before the Lord. This word, revival. Vive means life. Well, this prefix re is an original occurring form of Latin words, and a lot of your Latin words it will have this, and I loved the meaning of it because it's encouraging. But it says the meaning of the word, of the prefix re, is again. And then it said, or again and again. And it said it was indicating repetition. So I'm very thankful this morning that the Lord doesn't just revive me one time and then go off and say, now it's up to you to stay revived. the Lord is so gracious and merciful to stay with me and revive me over and over again and again. And I want us all here this morning to be encouraged that even if we find ourselves cooling off, He is still able to revive us again and again and again. Thank the Lord. So that's what that prefix means. Revive is again turning to life or being alive. Now there's some scriptures. I'm just going to give you a few. One is in Psalms 51 and 10. And there's a number of scriptures that will verify these thoughts that we're giving you this morning. But this 10th verse, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and what? Renew a right spirit within me. And so as we walk with the Lord and as we pass through our tests and trials and tribulations, and we were talking about suffering this morning in Sunday school, suffering as a Christian, and it doesn't seem like our suffering is anything like the martyrs and other generations that may have suffered more. But yet we do have some trials and tests and tribulations and troubles that come our way. And in the midst of those kind of things, we have to be sometimes renewed. We have to have our mind adjusted, our thinking, our feelings, our attitude. When the enemy is coming against us, and you know that the battle, your true battles, are the battles of the mind now. And so it's the way that we're feeling about even our walk with the Lord. Sometimes we have to say, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. And He does that. He will renew us. And then you skip down to verse 12 in that same one, and He said, restore unto me the joys, or the joy of salvation. Now, have you ever had to be restored in your joy of your salvation? Has salvation become so mundane? I don't know if that's really the problem. I feel like sometimes I have to stir myself, and sometimes the Lord has to stir me for the joy of my salvation. I have to seek for it. I have to say, Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. Remember what it was when you first got saved. If you're saved for many years, you become so everyday routine salvation. That's just how it is. But you hold on to it. You still are maintaining your salvation. But there are times that you and I need to be restored in the joy of our salvation. And then I read this in another translation for the ending of that verse, and I'm just going to give the translation of that. It says, grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Now I know, and we're going to be bringing out some thoughts concerning this, we can't trust in ourselves, but I want to say we play a big part. You and I play a part. It's not all God. He offers us salvation. We accept it. We act on what He offers. And He upholds us. He sustains us. But I play a part in that too. My attitude. I have to be renewed, revived. So I liked that little reading of that, grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. My willingness in my heart to follow the Lord is going to help sustain me. And then the second scripture concerning this, that uses this word, Psalms 119 and 25, and it uses a different word, but it means the same thing. And He said, quicken me according to thy word. And this word quicken means revive. Revive me according to thy word. So as we said, revival is needful. Now I want to say just briefly that even in history, down through history, there have been times of revival. And the first one that is really recorded as history is called the Great Awakening. And I think it was during the time of the colonies, when the United States, when it was just a colony, 13 colonies. And they came for religious reasons, religious freedom, and yet they began to drift. And they began, and the ministers of that time realized it, or the Spirit of God some way brought it about that there was a great revival. And I'm not sure exactly when it was, but there was a profound message that was recorded, and the title of it, you can still get online and you can still read the message, and it was Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And that's because the people were slipping away from what they once were and falling into a complacency and being in sin and really not having the care. And this particular message was preached to a large number of people, and the people, it was so profoundly given that there were people that were falling down and fainting because it awakened something in them. So that's why it was called the Great Awakening. And then there was a second Great Awakening around in the 1700s. And then we know the birth of a Reformation was about 1880. And there was, and when there would be an awakening, it would go for a period of a number of years. It wouldn't be just one revival. It was something that would go for like 50 years, 70 years. And there would be a lot of changes in the people. But slowly and surely, they would drift back into a complacency and lukewarmness and accepting of sins in their life. And so we know, and if you read the book, The Birth of a Reformation, D.S. Warner, about 1880, and I'm not going to give a whole lot of history on that, but for a period of years, about 20 years, 25 years or so, there was a message that was affecting even those in what we call sectism. It was a message of come out of her, my people. And that is the time of that message. And it worked profoundly throughout the whole world. There was a much growth in the spiritual work of God, even in other countries. That was a time of growth. But I have tried to look back in history from the 1900s to today, and we have not been able to even find a report that there's been a great awakening of our age, of this time, for the last 120 years. So we have individual revivals. We have revivals now that will occur in a congregation. Or maybe, well, for us, for the Church of God, we sort of count our camp meetings as a time of revival. We have them individually in the congregation. And remember, we are a home congregation, but yet we're part of a whole body, which includes all of the Church of God. And then we have the camp meetings. Then we have a national camp meeting. And we go to various camp meetings. And what's the reason we feel a need to be refreshed, renewed? Even if we're going to church every Sunday morning, we're hearing the preached word. Every Sunday night, we come on Wednesday night, we hear the testimonies, we sing the songs. And those things should keep us. We should be kept. by obeying the word and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That should keep us. But we still are going and being refreshed and renewed. But you know, we have even more than that. No other generations had what you and I have online. Every day you could listen to X number of messages, whatever you choose. Get on there. Well, this one's only 20 minutes. Doesn't take long to hear that. So, you see, we are a people that could almost become waterlogged. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe we need to guard against hearing and not hearing. You can turn it on and be busy about yourself, your work and all, and it's being said, but you're really not grasping it. But I listened to it. I had it on, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying we need to be awake and alert. So we need to be revived by His Word. And there is a scripture I want us to turn and read before we go on, and it is in 2 Thessalonians, just as a little reminder to us. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and verses 1 through 3. And it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," I want us to not forget that the Lord is coming. Every generation before us, the older ones have died. They didn't see the coming of the Lord. There is coming a time that there will be possibly three generations, possibly four generations alive at the same time that will see the coming of the Lord. If my generation passes on, there's at least three, possibly four generations that will be left behind. And they will possibly see the coming of the Lord. So we need to keep it ever present in our mind that the Lord is coming again. "And by your gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, neither by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Just a reminder, inserting this in our little thought today, this is a reminder, but this is also to instruct us, "Let no man deceive you by any means." We are living in a very deceptive time. It is everywhere. The enemy is called the deceiver of this world. It's his purpose is to deceive you and me. He wants to do something. I hope that the message today will open up to us and remind us what he wants to do to us. So it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Now, there has been, I would say, most every generation would say that there has been a falling away in their generation. As a matter of fact, I was reading I was reading what was printed of Faith Stewart in the latest little article of Truth and Hope. And I was reading it and I said, how could this be written in her day? It sounds like it is written in our day. So there was an opposition to truth in her day as well as there is in our day. It may be at a different level today. It may be a different degree. And yet what she wrote, we could read and relate to it. And that was possibly written in the early 1900s. So 100 years ago, that would have been written. So there will be a great falling away. and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I would like to hope that we can have a greater vision of our enemy this morning, and that we will not allow the enemy to take us down. We are in our last days. Make it personal. Say, I am in the last days. Realize that you are in the last days. Now I'm going to talk to you this morning a little bit about Pilgrim's Progress. And when Christian was at the house of the interpreter, oh, there's so much good in that book. I hope that sometime that you can read it together if you haven't already. But he was shown a fire burning against the wall. How many might remember that? You don't have to raise your hands, but there was a wall, and there was a fire that was burning against this wall. And there was one person that was standing beside that fire and was always casting much water to quench the fire. And yet the fire burned higher and hotter. And so Christian said, well, what does this mean? And this was the answer concerning that fire, that this was the work of grace wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit. He that casts the water upon it to extinguish it and put it out is the devil. Now you should have a fire burning in you today. You should have something to indicate that the Holy Spirit is in you, working in you. The scripture speaks about the fire of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have it, I urgently encourage you to seek for it with all of your heart. You're going to need it. So it was from this perspective, or looking at it from this side of the wall, it looked like the fire had no chance, because there was a purpose that Satan had. Satan has a purpose for you too. You know that? You understand that? You understand that we need revival, renewal from time to time, because we have an enemy that is seeking whom he may devour, and your name is on his list, and my name is on his list. Every one of us that have made a choice to live for the Lord, he targets each of us. And he has this purpose of putting out the fire in your life, putting out the desire, taking it away, killing your hope. He wants to do anything he can to destroy you or me. So his cause is that the heart become cold and dead. That's why he's trying to put it out. He wants to drown the heart with, and we can put any kind of temptation on here, any kind of purpose that he might have. I wrote down, he wants to drown the heart with temptations and sore trials. If he can get you and me under a cloud of trials and tests, did you know that he wants to put you under a siege? He wants to put families under a siege. What is a siege? Well, back in the Old Testament, there were times that the children of Israel were placed under a siege and they could not leave their city because they were surrounded. And they were held in that place, and they ran out of food, and it was a horrible time, and they became so desperate, some even did horrible things to their children and ate them because they had no food. and they were trying to live. The devil would like to put you under a siege or your family. He would like to put a congregation under a siege. He would like to put the church of God itself under a siege, where he is doing all he can to destroy. But he would like to drown the heart with doubts and discouragements. Those are killers. If we begin to doubt the word of God, or if we doubt God, period, if we doubt what God can do for us, or what he will do for us, if we doubt his promises, if we doubt his word in any way, it will begin to work on our heart. We could be flooded. We could be drowned because he's pouring this on to make my heart cold and dead. Discouragement is a great killer. Don't give in to discouragement. Say, no, I am going to take courage. I'm going to be encouraged. I am going and claim it to be so. Pray against discouragement. Say the words. I pray against the discouraging thoughts or the discouraging feelings. I pray against it. I want to give it to you again. I'm going to give it to you probably as long as I live. But the word says, that which thou hast prayed against unto me, I have heard. God hears our prayers when we pray against the works of the devil. The devil would like to drown our heart with distractions and cares of life. And there's many distractions today. Things that are not even sinful. Something to take your time away from what is really important. This is crazy, but I was tempted this morning. That's why I wrote it down. I was tempted this morning with a distraction. And I'm going to tell it to you. Teresa and Lauren planted some flowers for me yesterday because I couldn't get down with my back. And I was so happy because I love those flowers. And you know about one of the first things that came to my mind this morning, why don't you go out and walk around the yard and look at all the flowers? When I knew that the Lord was calling me to study his word. See, that's not even sin. But that was the enemy in a simple thing. And I'm not even saying that would be wrong. But it was the moment. The timing was wrong. I could not be distracted. I needed to keep my mind on what the Lord was trying to say. And so that became one of the things that the enemy would like to flood my heart. Wasn't sinful at all. Let us guard our distractions. Let us guard that which is not necessary. Let's keep our cares of life in check. And then ultimately, what the enemy wants to do is cause us to fail and have sin in our life, and we feel then hopeless. He wants to quench your zeal. Do you know what zeal is? Have you ever felt zeal? Did you feel zeal when you first got saved? Absolutely. We had a joy. But the enemy wants to quench your zeal. And you have to seek for it. You have to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, renew my zeal. Refresh my zeal. Give me the zeal of the Lord. And then, of course, that would turn into being lukewarm. And we know what the scripture says. If you and I become lukewarm, the scripture says he will spew us out of his mouth. And I don't think that that is saying that God is so cruel, unfeeling. he wants to work to revive us. It would probably take a real, how shall I say it, length of time maybe, of not giving in to the dealings of the Lord, and I just become so lukewarm and complacent that I even am deceiving myself, because the Lord is going to send some kind of revival in your life to revive you and to renew you. So the devil is determined for you and me to be cool by degrees. He always has a plan to detour you before your end. One thing we want to say about Satan, he's patient. He's very patient. And he might even say this: "What care I, though I be 7 years in chilling your heart, if I can do it at last? If I take 7 years," the devil might say that. "If I take 7 years, I don't care." He said that a continual rocking will lull a crying child to sleep. If you and I become in a complacent stage, we can go to sleep spiritually. So I'm thinking about Brother Marty's message on Sunday night. The title of it was, "Thou Art the Man." And what he said in that was that you and I have not made heaven yet. He said it in a way that almost sounded negative. He said, you aren't saved yet. Even though we are saved, we aren't saved yet. In other words, we haven't made it. And that's why we need this revival. And now this is what you and I have to do. We have to strive to enter in. You will not make it if you do not strive to enter in. You need to walk circumspect, and all of this is familiar. Revival is a repeating of what we already know to bring it back to our minds. We need to watch and pray. And then I put in there, as never before. The devil has his sight set on you and me, and he wants to destroy us. So I'm thinking of our revival now that was sent. I believe it was sent by the Spirit. And now it's up to you and me to hold on to it, to not let it slip, to not let our minds become back into a former place of neglect or complacent mind. What was the one thing you got out of the revival that you might have testified and said, "It was for me"? And maybe it was something in every message. I know somebody said to me, that they got something. They were challenged nearly by every message. What did you get? What do you need to hold on to now? What would the enemy try to take away from you? And so, let's say you weren't able to come to the meeting, or you missed some. Here we have all of these messages now downloaded or uploaded or whatever they say. I think I say it wrong every time. But it's available. It's available for even those of us that heard it to listen to it again. I don't know why, but I feel like that this particular revival is probably one of the most important. Maybe it's because I'm feeling the nearness of eternity. The message that was preached on the Sunday before the meeting started was the nearness of eternity. God is working to prepare us for eternity and for the end. So I'm going to recommend that when you can, that you try to listen to some of those messages, if not all, listen to them again. See what God says to you in even the second time that you hear it. The scripture says for you and me not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Did you know, don't you know, that he knoweth that his time is short? It says so in Revelations. He knows what's waiting for him at the end of all of this. You can use that as part of your weapon of warfare against him by reminding the devil of what's waiting for him at the end of all of this. In Daniel 7 and 25, it gives us another. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. I'm just going to give you a portion of it. Another of his purposes is he wants to wear out the saints of the Most High. He's trying to wear us down. When we think about facing the things that the martyrs did, maybe they professed Christ, and maybe in a few days they were cast to the lions. They didn't have to endure the length of time that you and I are enduring. We may have to endure 80 years. We may have to endure many years. Endurance is difficult. The scripture speaks about enduring. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Endure hardness as a good soldier. So there's many things that tells us and prepares us to be enduring. Endure these things. Seek after the Lord and recognize. Don't be ignorant of the devices of the enemy, because he's trying to wear us down. Now I want to go back to the Pilgrim's Progress, and we're going to look at the other side of the wall. There was that fire burning against the wall. And on the other side of the wall, the fire was being kept alive by a man with a vessel of oil. He was continually feeding the flame. And again, Christian said, "What does this mean?" And the interpreter said, "This is Christ, who continually, with the oil of his grace..." I want to tell you, grace, the grace of God is sufficient for our day. He said, "Where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound." But it was the oil of his grace that continually kept the fire burning. And it said it maintains, some of this I took from Pilgrim's Progress, maintains the work begun in the heart. Now, Christ begun a work in you, and he's able to form it, to perform it, and to finish it. But we must allow him to. That's our part. And then it says the oil of his grace continually revives. And of course, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And I'm thinking about Paul, because Paul was the one that said that. Do you know what Paul said? He said that he was given a messenger from Satan. Now, what Satan is doing, God allows it. It's up to you now what you do with it. He gives us the grace. He gives us the power. And yet, I'm not doing it in my own power. I'm not doing it in my own strength. But he said that it was to keep him humble. Why do we need to be kept humble? So that we don't trust in our own righteousness. So that we don't say that I am something when I am nothing. He said that he would be exalted above measure if he had not had this messenger of Satan. He said he was not to be deceived. He could not trust in his own strength. That's what that meant. You cannot trust in the fact that you made a decision to live for God. And this is where the great danger is. If somebody says, once saved, always saved, they trust in that, what happened years before. Or if they were baptized as a baby and they trust in that. You can't trust in these things that are human. We can't trust in ourselves. We have to trust in the power that will keep us. The strength to preserve is not in us. It's not in us. Yet, to preserve, we must strive. That's your part. Striving to preserve your soul. You have a hand in it, but it's not the thing that keeps you. It's the power of God. A determination. Sometimes we might hear messages on determinations, and I want to tell you, every one of us needs determination, but that alone will not save us. It will not keep us. It will take that power of God. So we must all. I wrote it down here because it is a common scripture that we think of, we know about you and me. We must press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. That's what you have to do. God offers the grace, the power, the strength, the great, all of these things he's prepared. It's his part. But now it's your part to do something too. And you'll have to press against yourself. You'll have to press against all of the wiles of the devil, all of the temptations. You'll have to press. It's in you to do that. He gives us the power to do it. It is the power of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that keeps you and me from falling. In closing, I have just a few scriptures here. One is Luke 21 and 36. And it says, watch ye and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape and to stand before the Son of Man. That's our purpose. The devil has a purpose. God has a purpose. But you and I must also have a purpose. And then 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3 and 4 parts of those verses says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And then verse 7, for God hath called us unto holiness. Now, I've just taken parts of those verses to compile that thought. But I want to say again, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit and having the power of the Holy Spirit working in us is the only way that you can make heaven. You're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it comes down to our final thought. And the Lord gave this to me back in about February. And I pray using this little portion of a verse, but the Lord woke me up one Saturday morning, and I was in a very hard trial or battle. And the Lord spoke this little scripture to me, and it was a challenge to me. And it's 1 Samuel 16 and 1, and it says, fill thy horn with oil and go. And that's how we want to end the little message this morning. Is we need to not be ignorant of his devices. We need to maintain and hold to those things that we have received through revival. And then we need to go forward. Now, every one of us can have a horn, and every one of us can have it filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And we can take it with us, because that oil in your life is going to bless someone else. That's your job. You're not here to be on an island all by yourself. You and I, no matter what it looks like out there, we don't see the people, we don't see the revival, we don't see our nation coming to their knees. We're not seeing that. It happened maybe in 9-1-1 that our nation humbled themselves for a time and there was change for a time, but it has slipped right back in. Now, you are the light. If there is revival in any one person out there, it'll be because you took your horn and you filled it with oil and you went forward and you gave some of that oil to someone else and they were able to find the Lord. And the song came to me, forward, forward is the battle cry. Onward, onward to our home on high. And I'm going to read my final scriptures in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. And I'm just going to read 14 and 15, maybe start at 13. And I'm going to give you the King James, and then I want to give you just a little bit of the another translation. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. And this is Brother Marty's thought. Brothers, I do not consider that I have captured it yet. In other words, eternal life is still out before us. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, I want to say we only can look back and learn from our mistakes, but don't wallow in them. Don't let your past become your failure. God has covered the past with His blood. He has forgiven our sins. He's forgiven our failures, and He remembers it no more. But Paul had some things to forget, and you and I may need to also. But we are to be reaching forth unto those things which are before. And then it says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. Oh, some people get hung up on this word of perfect. They think, oh, I can never be perfect. You hear people say it all the time. Oh, we can never be perfect. No, but we can have a perfect heart and a perfect spirit, and we can strive for perfection. But you, number of you, I've given you this scripture before, and now I'm reading it. And it says, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And it says, if in anything ye be otherwise minded. Remember that scripture? We've read it to you all many, many times. It became one of my foundational scriptures. Promises. If you're less than perfect minded, then it says, God shall reveal even this unto you. And the other translation says, I believe God will make it plain to you. And He will. So this morning, we want you to hold on to the revival. If you feel it slipping, if you feel yourself getting a little bit cool, run to the Lord. Lord, revive me, renew me, revisit me. He'll do it again and again and again. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.